Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning. You all right? I hope so. Pardon me. Fighting fit, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready for the day ahead. It's Friday. Got that Friday feeling, hopefully. As always, I'm joined by little Harry, my producer. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Yeah? You glad it's Friday?
Yeah.
Good. And you are the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers. Thank you for joining me on the Beau Show, or Breakfast with Beau, formerly Breakfast with Beau. That's the real name, that's the proper name, isn't it? Breakfast with Beau, but colloquially known as the Beau Show, or Beau's Breakfast Club, or the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. And someone pointed out to me on Twitter the other day that Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club is LBC. So with the LBC and the BBC, Beau's Breakfast Club, BBC. Hashtag real BBC. Hashtag real LBC. All right, let's get into it. What is the world talking about this morning? What are they banging on about this morning? What's that evil cabal of print media editors lying to you about this morning? Lying by omission, half-truths, etc. All right, let's just jump straight into it then. So it says, PM battles for survival. He's in a battle. And Rayner ready to go, that is ready to go into launching a leadership bid of her own, not ready to go, leave office, resign being an MP, not that sort of go, but you get it. She's ready to rock and roll, she's ready to step into the top job, she's ready to coup Sir Keir, become the Prime Minister. Imagine Angela Rayner as like the Prime Minister, and she's like going to like the White House on a state visit and stuff. Embarrassing, it's embarrassing. Anyway, we've got a poll. So if you're in the chat, dive in, get involved. Why not? Doesn't cost you anything, does it? Click on something. I think we asked who would you rather. So just to clarify, actually, not who you think will win, if you've got any insight into sort of the voting intentions of Labour MPs, should there be a leadership race, but just who would you rather, just that. Who would you rather? And then the name of the top three or four or five most important big beasts in the party. So, yeah, give that a whirl. All right, the papers. First of all, first up, the Metro. The Metro, God. God. Right. You're helping reform, Starmer tells critics. PM battles for survival. Yeah, that argument, I always find it so weak, so lame, that you must support us, whoever we are, whether it was the Conservative Party in the last set of general elections, or this time, of course, Labour. You can't vote against us, no matter how bad we are, no matter how terrible we've performed, because it helps somebody worse. It's like, I'll be the judge of all of that, thank you, on the day, on the ballot box. Don't worry about that. You worry about you and what you're doing. You can't turn your back on Labour because it will help reform. Like, you can't not vote for reform because it will mean more Labour. Don't worry about that. People just voted for what was the right thing, the good thing, what was in their hearts. I mean, I do get tactical voting to some extent, of course. I'm not a complete idiot. I do understand the arguments. But, like, come on. Like, because otherwise, if you accepted that argument, it would be Tories forever then, wouldn't it? Because you can't allow Labour or Lib Dem ever to get in. So it's Tories forever. No. No. Of course, all the should Rupert Lowe form an actual party? All the reformers, that will be all they'll say. That all they'll bang on forever. Oh, you want Labour then, do you? It's Labour then, is it? You're just letting Labour win. I get the logic, obviously. It's a pretty obvious thing, but It's not a good enough argument. It's not a strong enough argument. You can't just settle. You shouldn't, anyway. You shouldn't just always settle. Because how would anything ever get off the ground ever? Anything new? Otherwise. All right. So today is pretty much wall-to-wall Starmer's troubles. He's hanging on for dear life. I mean, as I said yesterday, it's pretty much the same as yesterday for me, in my mind, in terms of Starmer's position. It's a little bit worse. It has eroded a bit more, but there's not sort of seismic, cataclysmic things have shifted in the last 24 hours, 23 hours. So he is still in a rocky position, you know, still his authority is undermined and all that sort of thing. But there's been no giant movements. But we'll get into the extent of it. And I still maintain that over this weekend and into next week, and all the days up to that by-election in Manchester, it will probably, I think, it might play out like this, probably erode slowly over that period. And then, depending on what happens in that by-election, then maybe things will quickly move on this. But we'll see. Maybe it'll sort of fall apart in the next few days, though, rather. But we'll see. All right, let's go on. What's the next paper say? Or should we quickly read the blurb here, because it just gives an overview and then we don't have to go through it over and over and over again. It says, PM battles for survival, headlines the Metro, over Sir Keir Starmer's appointment of Lord Mandelson as ambassador to the US. At the time of the appointment, it was public knowledge that Mandelson had maintained a friendship with the paedophile Jeffrey Epstein after his conviction for soliciting sex from a minor. Sir Keir has told critics, you're helping reform by discussing the matter, by even discussing it, you're helping reform. So you see how that argument is crappy. Reform people who are going to use that argument against Rupert Lowe supporters. You see how when Keir says it, you don't like it. You don't think it makes sense, that it works, that it's a fair argument. Okay. The BBC understands Lord Mandelson's view is that he answered questions about his relationship with Epstein in the vetting process accurately. Lord Mandelson has not responded to requests for comment. Yeah, Mandy still hasn't broke cover. She hasn't broken his silence. He's gone to ground. He's gone to the mattresses, as the Matthew used to say when they'd go to war. He's just zip. It's prudent, actually. It's the right thing to do if you're in this much trouble. It's the correct thing to do. But Lord Mandelson has not responded to requests for comment, but the BBC understands his position is that he has not acted in any way criminally. We'll let the CPS and the courts be the judge of that, the jury of your peers. And that he was not motivated by financial gain. Yeah, right. Okay, so, well, another thing to say, Starmer had a press conference yesterday afternoon. There he is. That was the press conference in Hastings. And he spoke for, I don't know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, doing a little speech, just laying out, saying, look, when we vetted Epstein, when we asked him loads of questions about his relationship with Epstein in, like, 2024 for the ambassador job, he just lied to us. Which may well be true. I mean, I've got no reason to doubt that that's true, but it's not good enough, again, is it? It's not the point. Why was he even in the running? Why was he even being considered? And then, apparently, according to Starmer, Epstein painted a picture. He said this like two, three, four times, that Epstein painted a picture of barely knowing Epstein. Well, if he knew him at all, really. And anyway, people knew that they were close by 2024. Obviously, we didn't have all the information we have now, but people still knew. It was still a dodgy, it was still a weird decision, and it shows a really bad ability to sort of understand reality. Although it's not that, is it? It's not as simple as that. There would have been all sorts of pressure from Morgan Mansweeney or whoever, that Mandelson's like the inside guy. Well, here's another thing to say that is coming out now just from political commentators. They're saying that it may well get quite worse for Starmer with the Mandelson stuff, because Mandy was a bit more than just simply one of the old school New Labour grandees that wanted a job at the Foreign Office. He was way more than that. He was like one of the most important people in the Labour Party. And so when the Labour Party won the last general election. He's just immediately at the top of like all decision making and things. There's one article later we might see, but I'll just tell you about it now, where it says that when Starmer formed his first government straight after getting into office in in 2024, at the end of 2024, it was Mandelson that was like making loads of the decisions, loads of the picks, basically telling Starmer, put this person there, put that person there, you know, acting as a grandee of the party, which he just was, sort of undeniably, right? A couple of times now I've said he's like a Labour version of Gove, but more though, when I said that on the main podcast, Dan Tubb said, yeah, good point, I get what you're saying, but more though, he's way more powerful than Gove ever was. And that's a fair point, yeah, absolutely. So in other words, Mandy was not just this old school leftover from the Blair Brown years looking for a job at the Foreign Office. He was at the heart of absolutely everything, apparently, allegedly. At the heart of absolutely everything. So that, you know, getting his protege to become Chief of Staff, number 10 Chief of Staff, or Starmer's highest, most powerful aide. So if and when all of that drops, or becomes sort of when the legacy corporate mainstream media decide to actually put a spotlight on all of that, then really there'll just be more and more and more and more pressure on Starmer. So I think maybe yesterday when we asked, was this the beginning of the end? And I said 60-70, maybe as high as 80% chance of that's the case. Well, it's not imminently going to be removed from power, but it's the beginning of the end, almost certainly, like kind of probably. And the poll agreed with me, basically. Yeah, that's looking more and more like a correct statement, a correct view of it. Yeah, Mandy was at the heart of everything. And yeah, in his only defence, Keir's only defence is that he lied to us during that vetting process. Well, you should have known, and he should have been nowhere near it. And then also Keir Starmer, kind of dodgily, sort of suggest, well, he did say, sort of somewhere between suggesting it and just outright saying it, he said that it was like the intelligence services around him of like need to take some responsibility. It's their fault in some way. It was on them to some extent to make it much more clear to him that there was real question marks and problems with appointing Mandelson. That it's sort of on them a bit. Well, the buck stopped with you, I'm afraid. The buck stops with you, Sir Queer. Anyway, what about all these Ukrainian young men that set fire to your stuff? You don't want to talk about that, do you? No. Not a word about Epstein's Israel connections. Not a word about them calling us all goyim and cattle. Don't want to talk about that. His wife wouldn't be happy if he brought that up, would she? Right, The Independent. Met Office say there's more bad weather on the way. Okay. PM, I'm sorry for believing Mandelson's lies. Don't accept your apology. Don't accept it. That's not good enough. What's that worth? Keir Starmer apologises to victims of Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, I'm sure they'll be over the moon about that. Keir Starmer apologises to victims of Jeffrey Epstein, but seeks to pin blame on the vetting process itself for catastrophic appointment of US ambassador as pressure builds from Labour MPs to sack key aide Morgan McSweeney. Yeah, it seems like, as I said yesterday, it seems like they're not gunning directly for the Prime Minister at this point, as of yesterday. As of Wednesday afternoon and evening and yesterday. They're not gunning directly for the Prime Minister. It looks like they've got their sights more on Morgan McSweeney, which is gunning for the Prime Minister, but just not a direct beeline straight for his job. They go more for Morgan McSweeney. I think once he's removed, if and when he's sort of removed or jumps ship one way or another, then, you know, the breaches are more clear to attack Starmer himself. Something like that. Okay, yeah, so Starmer was moaning about the vetting process. I mean, it's your vetting process, though. It's like, you can't blame me. It was just the things I did and said. What? It's not my fault. It was just everything I did. It's everything I signed off on. It's not me, though. It's like a little kid, isn't it? Like a little kid. It's got chocolate all round their mouth. Did you get in the biscuit barrel and eat all the chocolate biscuits? No. It wasn't me. chocolate smeared all over their hands. No, I haven't. No, I didn't touch it. Right, the eye paper. Labour women in grey suits may be sent to number 10 to tell PM to resign. So, what that is, in 1990, when Margaret Thatcher was finally ousted and replaced by John Major. Sort of the law around all of that is that, quote, men in grey suits, quote, had to visit Thatcher, because Thatcher was clinging on by her fingernails for a while, sort of refusing to go, getting stubborn. You can't make me leave until there's some sort of legal process in place to make me leave office. I'm not going to leave office. She got all stubborn like that. They usually do, actually. They usually do. You know, it's rare. Someone like Tony Blair, who eventually, after 10 years, handed over power, they usually don't. So anyway, men in grey suits went and told Maggie, the numbers, you haven't got the numbers. You may as well leave now. Otherwise, it will just get really, really messy and dirty and you'll be forced to leave anyway. So leave now. Right? That's what happened to Maggie. Lady Thatcher. And now they're saying, some people are saying now that Labour women in suits, get it? Because it was men in grey suits. Now it's women in grey suits because they're so progressive. That they'll send a bunch of female Labour MPs to number 10 to give Starmer the bad news. Your backbenchers have got the numbers and the intention of forcing you to, you know, vote with no confidence and forcing you to leave. Women in grey suits, okay. Starmer is now toast, his MPs believe. He's toast. The toast of London. I don't know about that toast. But Wes Streeting and Angela Rayner won't challenge the Prime Minister yet, see? They're circling, sure. I accept that. I accept that they're circling. Like a giant school of nurse sharks. But it's not quite yet. Okay, so Wes Streeting is one of the names, isn't it? One of the big names that keeps getting toted, even before this recent Mandelson furore. Is one of the people that's ambitious, that wants to or could possibly step up and be the next Prime Minister. But he's sort of keeping his head down. I mean, there's pictures of him with Mandelson. He was a type of Mandelson protege, you might say. Although, well, all the younger generation in the Labour Party would all have looked up to, well, nearly everyone in the Labour Party would have looked up to Mandy as this, one of the last survivors of the Blair Brown years that's still around, still doing it. Still pulling strings in the party, still at the very, very top of the decision-making tree. So everyone, certainly younger people like McSweeney or Wes Streeting, they're all like Mandelson's children politically. That's why the whole thing is stained by it, which is nice. It's good, you know. I hate the Labour Party, all of them, every man jack of them. So Wes Streeting, there's pictures of him smiling with Mandelson. Of course there are. So he's just keeping his head down. You know, he's not singing it from the roof. It's terrible what the Prime Minister has done and what Mandy said. He has said a word or two about Mandy, Wes Streeting, but, you know, he's not really, really banging the drum because he's implicated in it all. So he's keeping his head down a bit at the moment. And it's really Angela Rayner who's sort of in, like, the most prominent person saying, well, as the headlines, and more headlines we'll see later, saying, I'm ready to go, I'll do it. Just give me the chance, coach. Just put me in the game, coach. I'm ready. But she's got a couple of problems, isn't she? She was disgraced herself, mildly, much more mildly, but still a disgrace and had to be removed from being Deputy Prime Minister for stuff to do with HM Revenue and Customs, owing a bit of money, not sorting out all her personal finances to do with a flat she owns, flat leasing. Pretty boring stuff like that, but nonetheless, you know, basically disgraced, although she's an MP, she's still an MP. What she did didn't rise to the level of anything properly criminal, or not even enough to be removed as a party member, or an MP even, but just a bit disgraceful, enough not to be the deputy leader anymore. So she's still, in other words, by the letter of law, on paper, she's still perfectly, absolutely, legitimately in a position to try and run to be the next leader of the party. Although, some reports are saying, and I think they're correct, although I'm no tax lawyer, I think they're correct in saying that until that investigation into her, which is still ongoing, I believe, is completely finished, she can't quite do it. Like, she still owes Revenue and Customs money or something. In fact, let's just quickly read the blurb there on the front of the iPaper. Labour MPs Wargaming, how to get rid of Starmer, wargaming. Bunch of Labour MPs sitting around in some of the Parliament bars talking to each other. That's wargaming, okay. Counting how many votes they've got. That's wargaming, okay. They're considering sending a delegation of senior female MPs to Downing Street to tell him he must stand down, as Tory men in grey suits told Thatcher in 1990. There you go. Starmer ignored warnings from ministers on Tuesday night, just before PMQs on Wednesday, as they tried to prevent the angry Labour rebellion. Wrong decision left his authority in tatters the next day. PM fights for survival and challengers bide their time. See, they're biding their time. It's not, he's not toast today. He might still survive, right? It's not that he's got no support in the party. Ex-deputy PM Rayner still needs to settle her, there you go, she still needs to settle her tax bill with HMRC, while Streeting does not want to wield knife. Right, so Streeting's getting cold feet. Streeting hasn't got the cojones at this moment in time. He hasn't got the testicular fortitude to wield the knife. Politically. And Rayner's still in a bit of hot water herself. So, if it was going to happen, I mean, one thing I would say is that if you really don't like Angela Rayner, you're embarrassed by the person of Angela Rayner and don't want her to be the next Prime Minister. But you're thinking, well, she's the front runner at this moment in time. She's the most vocal one. She's the one out there putting it all on the line. Don't be too worried, because very often, very, very often, the way these things go, that front runners don't end up winning this type of battle. It's very, very often the case. I mean, obviously, I think of like Heseltine, maybe. Everyone thought Heseltine would take over from Thatcher. Everyone thought that it was a complete given. Heseltine would be next after Thatcher. No. You remember everyone thought David Miliband would be the next Labour leader. Often the way. The front runner early on in these things doesn't actually end up getting it. All right. The Times, the venerable Times. Move out of Westminster or it'll take 60 years to repair, MPs told. So yeah, this is a little story that they need to repair the Palace of Westminster, which is the Houses of Parliament, if anyone doesn't know. That building with Big Ben, St Stephen's Tower there, and the whole Houses of Parliament. That's the Palace of Westminster, that's what it's called. And it's sort of crumbling. It's not in the best nick, put it that way. And they've been trying to, or have been, renovating it for years and years and years. Most of my adult life, on and off, one way or another. There's quite often scaffolding all around it. There's sort of permanently work going on it. Kind of permanently. And they've already spent God knows how much. It must be hundreds of millions, might even run into low billions. I don't know, tons and tons of money over years and years and years. And finally, they did like a proper sort of completely a review of everything that remains to be done. And it's come out and it says something like it's going to cost like 40 billion, something like £40 billion, and take 60 years. What? You could knock it down and rebuild it five times in that time. Of course you could. That's an exaggeration. That's a massive piece of hyperbole there, but because it's unique. But you get what I mean. 60 years and 40 billion. Are you kidding me? Come on. That's stupid. That seems crazy and stupid to me. How could it possibly take that? There you go. That's what it's like these days, building stuff in Britain. Like just building one bridge, one relatively small bridge. £100 million, 10 years. What? Like the HS2 thing. Build a train line from London to Birmingham. That's going to take 20 years and untold billions. Really? Does it? Why? There you go. That's the story there about renovating the Palace of Westminster. Takes 60 years. And 40 billion. That's crazy. All right. MP labelled gullible and weak over Mandelson. Yeah, Starmer issues apology as Labour dismay grows. Yeah, gullible and weak. I mean, that's being kind, isn't it? Gullible and weak. That's being kind. That's saying that you didn't really know what you were doing. You didn't really know what you were getting yourself into. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. That's being extremely generous to merely call him gullible and weak. That's it. That's my opinion. All right. Margot Robbie there. Beautiful Margot Robbie. There's a new film, Wuthering Heights. They've made Wuthering Heights again. And the premiere of it was in London last night. And she wore that at the premiere. So there you go. Really important. The Star. There, Margot Robbie again in the same dress. I think there's other pictures of the same picture of her. That cabal of editors that are in cahoots. All right, so on the Star, they say, Starmering firing line, top secret Epstein files, the spy who failed me. A picture of a young Sean Connery as James Bond. Okay, the spy who failed me. Okay, The Guardian. The Guardian. Starmer in appeal to Labour MPs as pressure grows for number 10 reset. Okay, great. Yeah, brilliant. Some sort of Trump derangement syndrome story. Okay, we don't need to look at that. The Financial Times ironed out Glencore and Rio quit tie-up. Rio Tinto, big mining interests. We're going to tie up, but maybe they're not now. I shrugged like that's nothing. That is actually quite a story. Relatively, I mean, in the world of mining. But mining is a really big thing. It's one of the things that sort of makes the world go round, you know. Okay. Maybe consider buying, if Glencore or Rio Tinto dip on the back of that, maybe consider buying the dip, I don't know. If you're into that game, if you're into equities, got some money to play with. Okay, Starmer apologises to Epstein victims as crisis over Mandelson tires deepens. Labour MPs see unedifying end. Premier insists he will carry on. Delays in release of vetting files. Yeah, so maybe touch on that bit, the unedifying end. Yeah, that if the numbers are not there to keep Starmer in his position, i.e. numbers of Labour MPs prepared to back him up in any sort of vote of no confidence, if the numbers aren't there, and women in grey suits go to number 10 and tell him you've got to give up, and he doesn't, and they have to go through the whole rigmarole of the whole process, and he's sort of removed by force, not actual force, you know, like the police actually having to storm number 10 and remove him physically from the building, not that, but they have to go through the whole unedifying end, as it says there, yeah. Because at least, you know, at least, what, like, May and Boris and Truss, you know, when they knew it was over, they just went. Because it is just dragging your own party and the country, to an extent, through muck to do that. Okay, Mountbatten, Windsor. Touted felon's business during Queen's visit to UAE. Andrew Mountbatten. It seems Andrew Saxe Coburg Gotha. I might just start calling him that. Andrew Saxe Coburg Gotha. They only changed their name to Windsor in like 1917 or something. That family are the Saxe Coburg Gotha family, not the Windsors. Okay. Andrew Saxe Coburg Gotha might be in even more trouble where it's coming out. There was an interesting piece Rafe did on the New Culture Forum yesterday or the day before, talking to a writer that's written biographies and someone on the inside who knows loads of details. They're saying that, like, we've only scratched the surface of Andrew Saxe Coburg's depravity. I don't know what to believe. Could well be true. I could believe it, but I don't know for sure. But apparently I only scratched the surface on it. Because he was also, as a working royal, he also had like various hats he would wear to do with business. That was his thing. That he would go around the world and meet with business people and try and put together connections and make business deals, or, you know, start the nexuses off, start the little kernel of a business deal that maybe years down the line would grow into something more official. Anyway, that all that sort of stuff was, all of it was sort of, or lots of it was quite corrupt and getting kickbacks and loads of girls. There was one story, it's alleged, he went to Thailand, like doing this role of being like some sort of business ambassador, some sort of royal business czar on behalf of Britain. And he went to Thailand and, yeah, on New Culture Forum, they said, the guy said, he went through 40 prostitutes in 4 days. That's impressive. Now, that's a crazy number. What are you talking about? Come on, even if you're super virile and you're like 19, 10 a day? Think about that, 10 a day for 4 days, day after day for 4 days. That doesn't make it, doesn't even make sense, does it? Is that physically possible? I don't. All right, well, it's a morning show. We won't go into the details of that too much, but things like that are alleged. People say that he was more depraved or had a larger sexual appetite than Epstein himself. Don't know if it's true, but there we go. Maybe it looks like it might just keep getting worse and worse and worse for Andrew. But he basically thought the whole world was his plaything and he could do anything he wanted. He was utterly untouchable and could do anything he wanted. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure more stuff will keep coming out. All right, the Daily Mail. I've been alongside Sarah Ferguson in her darkest moments. This time she really is out in the cold. Yeah, yeah, good. I hope to sort of never hear from or see Fergie again. That would be nice. I mean, not that she's like the most evil person in all of this, not remotely. But like, do we ever need to see or hear anything about Fergie ever again? We got it. We know who she is. We know what she did, essentially, more or less. Just disappear, please. Okay, as Starmer fights for his political life and MPs line up to warn that either he or his chief aide has to quit, ex-deputy leader tells friends she's primed to strike. Rayner, I am ready to go. She's so gross. She's so stupid as well. Like Lammy. You know what it's like, right? When you hear somebody speak, you can usually tell quite quickly, just by their tone and intonation and their use of words and their vocabulary and all sorts of things, you can tell, roughly gauge where they are, very roughly, just on a level, in a general sense, of intelligence. Like if someone speaks very, very slowly and with a very, very limited vocabulary and the concepts they're using and playing with are extremely simple, then they are extremely simple, almost certainly. Same goes the opposite way, you know, you listen to somebody like, I don't know, off the top of my head, Chomsky or Douglas Murray or someone, or Christopher Hitchens or something like that, right? You can tell immediately, you can sort of tell quite quickly that they're well-read and they're quick of mind and they're intelligent, essentially. People like David Lammy and Angela Rayner, you can just tell they're stupid people. They're stupid. All right. Anyway. So the thing is, there is a little bit of conflicting reporting at the moment. A fair few of the papers are saying that Rayner's primed and ready to go. And a couple of the others are saying, like, no, she's not. She can't. She's already been thwarted. She's already, like, sort of thrown her name in the hat, so to speak, put herself out there. And already Labour backbenchers are like, no, you're not the one. You know? So we'll see. The Telegraph. Robbie there, again. Bit too much blusher there, isn't it? Yeah, she's beautiful, Wilbur. Who am I? Who am I to question Margot Robbie's makeup? Really, nobody. Rayner tilt at number 10, hit by tax inquiry. Former deputy PM could have to wait for HMRC investigation if Starmer quits. Well, it's all a question of timing, isn't it? Most things in life boil down to timing. And if she can't sort of make a leadership bid because of the HMRC thing still going on, well, that's it, isn't it? That'd be nice if she's just completely thwarted by that with the best will in the world, with all the ambition boiling away in her heart and mind, that she can't do it because of her own HMRC issues. That'd be funny. Johnson, that's Alexander Johnson, Boris Johnson. PM behaving like dictator with election delay. A little bit. I mean, it's an exaggeration, but a little bit. I get it. Hate Boris Johnson. He would be perhaps second or third in the dock for crimes against the people were I Lord Protector in both Britain. But then, as I agree with him there, basically, super bad, isn't it, the delay of all the elections. NHS recruits a nurse specialising in cousin marriage for Bradford. Why might that be? Why you would need such a thing at all in this country? Beggar's belief. Only Muslims that marry their first cousins, basically. And in Bradford. Oh, but diversity is our strength. Oh, right, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I forgot that 50p Rishi had printed that says diversity built Britain. Forgot about that, sorry. Inbred diversity built Britain. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Health issues to do with inbreeding. That's what we're talking about. You can call it first cousin marriage. It's inbreeding. What a blight on this country. Get rid of them. Clear them out. Margot Robbie again in that dress. There you go. The Sun, despite everything that's going on, despite the government arguably teetering on the edge of a cliff, The Sun go with Wayne Rooney's son got given a contract by Man United. On me red sun, like on me head. On me red sun, because Man United wear a red jersey. See that? They wear red. So you get the clever pun, on me red sun. Rooney's lad, Kai, 16, offered Man United deal. So what? The Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. Kemi says, Britain is not being governed at all under No Idea Sir Keir. No Idea Sir Keir's got a bit of a ring to it. I don't mind that. Quite like that. It's not being governed at all. Yeah, sort of, yeah. Or the small amount of governing that is being done is ruining the fabric of our society, making us less safe. Ruining our demographics. Locking in a nightmarish Yugoslavian or South African style tribal, racial and ethnic conflict. The little amount of governing that's going on is working tirelessly towards that, speed running us towards that. Would Kemi do anything different? I doubt it. It's the Uni Party, isn't it? She's the same thing. Find the clip of her standing up not too many years ago in Parliament, gloating about all the visas she got for foreign people to come here. Don't believe her. Don't trust her. She's a cuckoo in the nest. She's a Nigerian person, for God's sakes. Daily statins safe for millions more to take. So, yeah, this is about cholesterol-busting drugs. It always used to be that if you had really high cholesterol, maybe the doctors would say you could take statins, but other people said, oh, it's really dangerous. Now they're saying it's not. And they're saying it's not. Okay. If you've got bad cholesterol, probably sort your diet out and do some exercise. It's a bit harsh, but... No, it's not harsh. No. That's not harsh, no. Sort your diet out and do some exercise. Stop living a sedentary life and eating rubbish if you've got high cholesterol. Bit of tough love there for you. If you care about living, if you care about staying alive. All right, that's the papers. Let's have a look at the website. Or should we look at the poll first, Harry? Should we have a look at the poll? All right, bring it up on the screen. Engage. Make it so. Engage. Okay, so we said, the wording was, who would you like to see as the next Labour leader? Sorry, can you bring it up again? It's close there. And we gave you the option of David Lammy, Shemana Mahmood, Angela Rayner and Yvette Cooper. Okay, and the results come back. Oh, interesting. I didn't give my prediction what the poll would say, but it hasn't come out what I would have thought. At the moment, you've said the winner of that is David Lammy. The wording is, who would you like to see as the next Labour leader? 42% of you say David Lammy. What is going on? Are you all right? Are you all right out there? Are you sure? you need to have a word with yourself? It's the first civil war between Bo and his own audience. No, it's not. I love you guys. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. My brothers in arms. But 42%, David Lammy, really? All right, second is Angela Rayner on 24%. Then Yvette Cooper on 18%. And bringing up the rear, Shimana Mahmood on 16%. So that's quite a clear victory. If it was up to you guys to vote on it, David Lammy would be the Prime Minister. David Lammy. This is like a protest vote. Oh, sorry, I'm seeing you've brought up the normal chat for me. People saying it's a troll, we're being trolled. Okay, hopefully, yes, that would make more sense. Please let it just that you're just trolling me. Please let that be the case. In what? Although there are lots of people, aren't there, on our side of the aisle, on sort of the centre-right of politics, or the right of politics, the dissident right, whatever you want to call it, that are so upset with the whole thing, disengaged really from the whole thing. You know, accelerationists. Just, yeah, it's got to get worse before it gets better. Yeah, go on, give us Lammy then. Go on, make it as absurd as possible so that maybe normies will wake up. There's that whole angle, and I get it. I don't agree with it, but I totally understand it. And again, I don't agree with it, but I sympathise with it, if that makes sense. So I get why you might be like, Lammy. All right, there you go. Imagine that. Oh, I daresn't. It actually gives me a bit of a shiver. Makes my skin crawl. David Lammy as the Prime Minister. Imagine him standing up, pontificating, setting the biggest, most sort of meta policies for the whole country, dictating all foreign policy and stuff, dictating what the courts and the police do and are. David Lammy. Ugh. Terrible. What would he do? He might do some truly, truly terrible things. Like, I don't know, like, give away the crown jewels. I mean that, well, actually, I was going to say, I mean that metaphorically. But also maybe literally. Just give away everything. Just absolutely ruin anything and everything that makes this country good. Purely out of sort of a racial spite. A racial resentment. A racial chip on his shoulder. Really, David Lammy? I don't know. Sorry, guys. Unless it's a full troll, in which case, well done, you got me. If it isn't that, I can't really agree with you. I'd have to go with... If it were me, I think yesterday I said Yvette Cooper, didn't I? We didn't put Wes Streeting on there. It was probably the other one. I'd probably have to go with Yvette Cooper myself. Anyway, let's move on to the websites. Let's move on to the websites. Beyond the Starmer stuff, there's not a great deal today. There is various bits and bobs, but it's still mainly completely dominated by Mandelson and the Starmer stuff. But, okay, here we are. US and Iran talks to begin as fears of direct conflict continue. So there was going to be a big meeting of all the countries in the region all sit down together with Iran and the United States to try and hammer it out. And Iran said, no, we just want to speak to the United States, just them and us at a table in Oman. And the United States said, okay, go on then, we're going to do that. So that's what's happening now. Is it set to happen today? Or it began yesterday, something like that. So we'll see if they can make a deal. I suspect the United States at this point will have sort of loads and loads of red lines in the sand and say, if you don't do more or less exactly what we want, we're going to start doing what we want. And I suspect Iran won't be able to agree to them. That's a classic thing. If you want to go to war with someone, you give them loads and loads of conditions that they cannot meet. And then you get what you want, right? It's that classic thing, like Austria-Hungary in 1914. Austria-Hungary sending an ultimatum to Serbia. Saying, if you do everything we want, then there won't be a war. But here's a list of everything we want. And it's a list that Serbia could not possibly agree to. Could not possibly agree to. I fear maybe America's going to do that, play that game with Iran at this stage. But you don't know. Over the weekend or early next week, it might come out. Everything's been agreed. We're all good. And the USS Abraham Lincoln carrier group will steam away from the Persian Gulf. We'll see. All right, Mandy. Getting caught on tape for having sex in a Chinese hotel. Beware that. Number of homeless refugees in England soars. Yeah. because you've imported hundreds of thousands, millions of new people who aren't interested in working, who aren't productive members of society. Yeah. Picture of just loads of tents lining up, just camping on the side of the road in London. Or wherever. In Paris, it's the same. Yeah, if you're going to let the dregs of society in, if you're going to treat this country like some sort of overflow car park for the whole world, the detritus and the chancers from the entire rest of the world coming from places that aren't war zone. They're not refugees. Small number of them, maybe. Or the vast majority of them, not refugees. Then, yeah, we're going to have a massive homeless problem. Sorry, I thought that diversity built Britain, though, didn't it? According to that 50p Rishi Sunak had minted. It's our greatest strength. It's not just a strength. It's our greatest strength. And anyone who says otherwise is just a small-minded little Englander bigot. If you want to do anything about it or got any sort of problems with it, you're a far-right fantasist. You're mad. You're basically a Nazi. You're basically like Enoch Powell, who was basically a Nazi. If you've got any problem with the soaring number of homeless in Britain and the open borders policy, there's no real moral difference between you and Reinhard Heydrich. According to lefties. All right. US healthcare needs fixing, but there's no agreement on how to do it. Amazing. Jacob Elordi, I practice my northern accent in the bath. All right, you've lost me. Don't know who that is. Don't care who that is. Don't care that he practices northern accent in the bath. You've gone to slop, so you've lost me. Let's move on. The ITV News. All right, there we go. There's a queer starling. Like, oh, he's really contrite. He's very, very sorry. He's very, very sorry. He's just been gullible. He didn't know. Okay. McSweeney is in trouble. That's the face of Morgan McSweeney, if you don't know what he looks like. Okay. This dude went to De Montfort University in Leicester and got stabbed to death. All right. What else have we got? Let's go to Sky News. They had some sort of story, didn't they? About the Suffolk Strangler. The police should have caught him sooner than they did. Kirsty Gallagher got sort of beaten up a bit in the street last year. And now she wants there to be more police officers on the beat. Just a man kicked her in the street. Just a man, no description. He was never caught, by the way, even though the CCTV footage of the incident apparently was clear. And the police said they would help her and catch him, but haven't. And now she's upset about that. Give us a description of the dude, Kirsty. Might help. No, not going to do that. It was just a man. Okay. I get it. I understand. Okay, let's have a look at the Mail. Moving slightly more towards the slop end. Slightly. The Mail group. Who I would proscribe if it was up to me. Rayner, I'm ready to go. As Starmer fights for his political life, ex-deputy leader tells friends she's primed to strike. Rayner, I'm ready to go. All right, we've done that, haven't we? We've done that. Oh, yeah, here was Dan Hodges. It was quite an interesting thing, he said. He has been a disaster, but I still believe he's a decent man. And this is how Starmer's time in number 10 will end, most likely within days. And I read that article, and that was reasonably interesting. How in Dan Hodges' take is that, well, yeah, he may well be gone within days. They will just become clear to him whether there are actual, physical, literal grey women in suits come and visit him or not. One way or another, it will become clear that his position is untenable, that the backbenchers do have the numbers and the intention of going ahead. And so it's just a case of whether he steps down or is forced out. We'll see. Look, there's a picture of Wes Streeting with Mandy, as I said. You can see that, yeah. It's all... They're all completely in place. Anyone in the Labour Party, at the top of it, like the Parliamentary Labour Party, not every single Labour member, but all the top people in the Labour Party will have been close one way or another with Mandy. So if it's now the paradigm, right, if the paradigm is that anyone that had anything to do with Mandy, it's like you had something to do with Epstein, right, it's as toxic as that. Well, that's the whole party, more or less. Not every single one of them, of course. There's hundreds and hundreds of Labour MPs, not every single one of them. But well, the top dogs, certainly. Anyone that's been in the upper echelons of the Labour Party for the last quite few number of years, that will apply to. No wonder there's a picture of the smiling Wes Streeting. I wonder if they had dinner that evening. I wonder if Ronaldo was aware. Just asking the question. I wonder what the nature of Mandelson and Wes Streeting's relationship was. Just asking. Well, I'm allowed to ask. I'm allowed to ask that. Okay. It's got into slop, so let's move on. What have we got here? We're on The Express. Prince Andrew, King Charles is angry with his little brother, Prince Andrew. Of course he is. Loads of Andrew stuff. Richard Branson was named and implicated in all the Epstein stuff, by the way. He's got an island of his own in the... It's even in the British Virgin Isles, I believe. Richard Branson. It says, Richard Branson issues statement over claims Sarah Ferguson is holed up on his island because Sarah Ferguson has fled the country. Is she actually on Branson's island? Dunno. I didn't even bother reading that article, but I think Branson's saying she's not. He doesn't know where she is. But Branson was definitely buddies. To what extent? Who knows? But he's definitely buddies with Epstein. Classic. Sort of multi-millionaire or billionaire dudes. They love each other's company. So they can look down on the rest of us as ants, as pawns in their game. Of course they are. Of course they love it. Zia Yusuf rips Keir Starmer apart on BBC Question Time over Mandelson scandal. It's a disgrace. Yeah, no, fair enough. Funny, I've got super mixed feelings about Zia Yusuf. On some level, obviously, I think he's a fifth columnist and exactly the wrong sort of person to be leading any sort of nationalist or nativist party. But then he does come out with really based, like the correct take quite a lot as well, though. And he's quite good in front of the camera. Got to give him that, right? He's quite good at speaking in something like Question Time. You know, the cauldron of something like Question Time always does very well. Always does very well. Like, we couldn't find an actual British, native British person to do that role, though. It has to be him, does it? And we want to talk about a disgrace, Yusuf. What about your business past? Your businesses you ran. By all accounts, they were pretty disgraceful. Pretty much a joke. Interest rates. The Bank of England announces bombshell decision. Bring that up, Harry, so people can see. Yeah, interest rates. Bank of England announces bombshell decision. They kept the rates the same. It's classic the papers for you, isn't it? It's classic. It's a bombshell. Nothing. Literally nothing happened. The Sun. Super quick slot from The Sun. Right, they go with Andrew. It was a long goodbye. They go with Rooney's son. He's good at football, apparently. What's this? I don't know. A poor individual, 17-year-old girl, was killed in a car crash. Lucy Letby, they love the Letby thing. And then some more slop about Molly May. Brilliant. Okay, let's hop across the pond to the slimes. Oh, time has gone fast. We're nearly at the top of the hour. Let's rip through a few things then. So the Olympics. Let's talk about the Winter Olympics. The US-Iran talks. All right. Let's skip a bunch of these today. Let's go straight to what? Russia. Russia had a couple of bits and bobs. Russia civilians returned to Kursk from Ukrainian captivity. From some of the Russian news today, it does feel like they are inching closer to a ceasefire or a full peace deal in the Ukraine-Russian war. That's what it feels like. Might be completely wrong. I might still be going 3 years from now, but it does sort of feel like that. So a couple of headlines here. Work on Ukraine peace deal document may take at least 1.5 months. Or Ukraine wants security guarantees for Odessa. Seems like sort of they're starting to, both sides starting to give and take and work something out. Lebrov to hold talks in Moscow with top OSCE officials. And the OSCE is sort of like a European security, European security body. That so if something like that, if there was going to be a peace on the ground and some third party, whether it's the UN or something, will go in there and make sure both sides stop fighting each other, right? It may be something like the OSCE. What is it? The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Right. So the Russians are talking to them, looking at talking to them and or to hold talks with them. So I might be wrong, as I say, but it feels like they're edging to both sides, edging towards finally stopping this thing. Which would be good, because as I've said before, it's been very, really quite bloody. Build, pure slop today in Build, as always. The French go with Gaza. Ahmed Youssef, former Hamas official. We have lost everything. Armed struggle has failed. Yeah, could have told you that. Could have told you that. If you're just a poorly organised paramilitary, if you want to win on the battlefield, don't take on the Israelis' army. That's not a shield for Israel. I'm not a fan of Israel or Zionism or Netanyahu or any of that. But there's the battlefield reality. Yeah, you've lost everything. Yeah. The armed struggle has failed. Yeah. All right. Science. Was there anything good in the science stuff? Just a quick few headlines then. Inside the quest to make a safer football helmet, American football helmet. Controversial Danish vaccine research group faces new allegations. A hack-proof internet. Quantum encryption could be the key. Sharp cutback in field tests could threaten quality of 2030 US census. Immigration isn't just for humans, this famous ape shows. All right. Should we do this day in history? Because it's very, very nearly 9 o'clock. Let's do this day in history. I like this day in history. You guys seem to enjoy it. The last few minutes, just to take us out. All right, on this day, which is the 6th of February, in 1508, Maximilian I is proclaimed Holy Roman Emperor, the first emperor in centuries not to be crowned by the Pope. Interesting, yeah, interesting. Again, we're right at the beginning of the Reformation there, aren't we? Right at the very, very beginning. It's like the age of Luther, isn't it? So, or even slightly before. Yeah, the masters of the bit of land that later gets called Germany. Again, there's no Germany in the 16th century, but the big bit of land that later we know as Germany. People less and less interested in the absolute authority of the papacy, even by that point. Yeah, the Holy Roman Emperor saying that, you know, it was a bit of a Mickey take that the Pope crowned Charlemagne in the first place, in the 9th century. Do we still need this? Do we still need the Pope to sign off on our crown? No, we don't. Thank you. No, thank you. All right. In 1778, the Treaty of Amity and Commerce and the Treaty of Alliance are signed in Paris between the United States and France. The first treaty is negotiated by the United States. The first treaty establishes formal diplomatic and commercial relations, and the second forms a defensive alliance. Yeah, so anyone who doesn't know the exact chronology of events with the founding of the United States of America. 1778 is still very, very, very early on. It absolutely hung in the balance. There was absolutely no guarantee that there would be a United States that lasted beyond the next deployment of British troops. You might think, oh, 1776, that's the magic date. America won its independence in 1776, and that's sort of it. No. Many, many years before it was remotely established. I mean, even by 1812, Britain's still like, we can come over and stomp you to bits if we want. We didn't, we failed. I mean, we burnt down the White House and we were largely successful in most set-piece battles. But the point is, what I'm trying to say here, in 1778, the United States was but a whisper. It was very, very, very fragile. And so that's a really important thing for the United States, that France basically recognises them. Very important. That's the most difficult, one of the most difficult things for new countries to become established and not just die, is that the rest of the world recognises that you're a thing. Okay, on this day in 1819, Stamford Raffles found Singapore as a British trading post. Yeah, it's a trading post. It's basically been an empty bit of land. Evil colonialism, though. Yeah, sure. What else we got? Robert E. Lee. This is a funny one. It said in 1685, General Robert E. Lee is appointed General-in-Chief of the Confederate Armies during the Civil War. I thought it told us that a couple of days ago. Get it right on this day, the website. Get it right. In 1952, Queen Elizabeth II succeeds the old king, her father, George VI, to the British throne and is proclaimed Queen of the United Kingdom and the other Commonwealth realms, including Canada, Australia and New Zealand. Yeah. Yeah, oh, the old king, George VI. The one with the stammer. Never wanted to be king. It should have been his older brother who married Mrs. Simpson. All that. Yeah, the queen and all her progeny, including the current king, it really shouldn't have been their line, right? It was only the fact that Edward decided to abdicate and marry Mrs. Simpson. Otherwise, the queen would have just been the niece of the king. And all her children just would have been relatively minor royals, mid-tier royals. So that abdication of the playboy prince really changed everything, didn't it? In 2023, there's a powerful earthquake in Turkey, really, really powerful earthquake in Turkey. In 1921, a Charlie Chaplin film was released. In 2024, Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 2 came out. All right, that's enough. I think that's enough. It's now 1 minute past nine. Oh, well, let's do the Super Chats. Harry, can you bring up the Super Chats for me? I'm not seeing them on the screen right now. Okay, there they are. There they are. All right, let's read these for you then. Midas Touch 2022 said, Bo need that electro synth track back on intro. Oh, yeah, I don't know, because I don't get to watch the intro. I'm sitting here. But we had some sort of, just to let you know, behind the scenes, how sausages are made a little bit. Yesterday there was some sort of issue with our intro song, so I don't know if we had to change it or something, but I won't bore you with all the details, but we'd actually sort of formally bought that little bit of music, and then maybe it changed hands with someone else, and now we effectively haven't got, we're not allowed to use it. Anyway, there's some sort of boring technical thing. I don't deal with any of that, by the way. I don't do any sort of back office stuff, any of the editing, nothing of that. I'm the talent, you see. I just sit in front of the camera and so they'll have to deal that out. But I like that synth music. I thought that was quite a good little bit of music. I really liked it. Hopefully we can get it back, or we'll get a very, very similar one, something or other. So yeah, if it's gone this morning, we will be trying to sort that out for sure. All right, what else have we got? Fortean Barber says Claire Rayner instead of Angela Rayner instead. Okay. Zerp Derp Zero says, should make all polls have the option, I'm America and I'm just here for moral support. Yeah, thanks for all the Americans and foreign people that watch it, because it is quite Britain-heavy news. Although I know a lot of Americans watch the Lotus Eaters. Like, loads. Like, I think like a third, or maybe even more than a third, of our entire audience base is the United States. There's lots of like Anglos in the United States, right? People that are descended from British people and the Irish, of course, in America. And so a lot of them consider it sort of like the motherland or something, and they're interested in it. It's great. I'm here for these people. Being a half American myself, I know I say it a lot, but you know, my father's from Oregon, born and raised in Oregon. Was in the US Air Force, et cetera, et cetera. I'm half American myself. So, yeah, I know there's quite a few Americans that have got a bad attitude towards Britain. Don't like us. View us as annoying or whatever. Got a sort of an anti-Anglo slant. But a lot don't. A lot really like us. And, of course, I love that. All right. Good. Yeah, just here for moral support. Cheers. Thank you. Thank you. One of the good ones. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, It only took 30 years to build the bloody thing in the first place. Is he talking maybe about the Palace of Westminster? It only took 30 years to build the bloody thing in the first place, and that was using peasants. Also, higher bow, best spice coal. I am the best spice coal. The best of coal's minions. The best one. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gently Benevolent. The Fenlander, 1665, says, Ely Cathedral took 300 years to build. Big job, yeah. I believe it fell down a couple of times as well. And we are talking, like, what, the 14th century? Hopefully we've got better materials and building practices now. But yeah, it's interesting, is it, how long some of those cathedrals took to build. Generations and generations, isn't it? I could bang on about that for a long time, but I can't. I shan't. But yeah, good point. Ely Cathedral took 300 years to build. Global Church History says, isn't saying Saxe-Coburg-Gotha equals Windsors like Lancaster-Yorkists equals Plantagenets? They're a house and not a dynasty. SCG lives on under Prince Hubertus. I don't know what that last bit means. But no, I wouldn't say that the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, calling the Windsors Saxe-Coburg-Gothas is not the same as the Lancaster-Yorkists Plantagenet thing, I would say. Because people might argue with me with this, or I might even be wrong. But the Yorks and the Lancasters were cadet branches, cousin branches of the Plantagenets. Whereas the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas just changed their name. It wasn't like a cadet branch. In World War One, the king, what is it, Jules V, would it be? Yeah, Jules V. During World War One, they make the decision, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha is a bit too German-sounding, and we're at war with Imperial Germany. Let's just change our name. So it's not like a different cadet branch, a different family, and it went a different way on the family tree. No, it's the same thing. They just decided, we'll change our name. What's the most English-sounding thing? It's literally as simple as that. What's really, really hyper, super English? Windsor. We'll just be called the Windsors now. Our surname's Windsor now. It's not quite the same, is it, as the Yorkist Lancaster Plantagenet thing? I don't think. Anyway, good point, though. Interesting point, nonetheless. Mr. EC is me. Doesn't say anything, but just gives us 20 quid. Thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Without you guys, this isn't a thing, is it? I know a lot of people say that, a lot of content creators and podcasters say that. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. But it's true. It really is true. When you're sitting in this seat, or an equivalent one, you realise that without the audience, it quite literally is nothing. So, appreciate it. I love you guys. You're my guys and gals. Thank you for tuning in. All right. Guy from Stoke, 6084. Stokey, eh? We've got Stokey in the crowd. It says, Lammy as PM is accelerationism. Yeah, it would be. It would have to be. It is. So fully accelerationists out there, then they would like that. But I'm not an accelerationist. I'm not a doomer or an accelerationist. So I wouldn't want to see that myself, personally. But yeah, you're right. It would be. It is. Yeah, you're not wrong. And thanks for the fiver. All right. Global Church History again says, Lamb is friends with Vance and goes to church. Sorry. Okay, the fact that you go to church doesn't necessarily mean you're going to act in the interests of the nation. It's a good indication maybe that you might be inclined to, but it's no guarantee. Does Ian, what church do you go to? What denomination is it? Okay. Mr. Dinky Bingo says, it would be absolutely hilarious to see galaxy-brained Lammy stand up to answer questions. Proper lols. Yeah, I mean, I do see it. I do see it, that, like, the accelerationist thing, and just the lols of it. Also, Lammy is got some extremely dodgy financial backers. I remember about maybe 2-3 years ago now, Sky News, I think it was Sky News, they did a whole expose on Lammy's finances. Because if you do, like, freedom of information requests and things, or Parliament even maybe is obliged to show everything that comes in and out of your accounts or something or other. If you're an MP, you have to be, like, more or less transparent with all your finances. or to an extent anyway. And it came out loads of people had given Lammy money, like quite a lot of money. A few grand here, 5 grand here, 10 grand there. One guy gave him like 50 grand. One guy just gave David Lammy something like 50 grand. And it's a name no one had ever heard of. And I remember this clearly. Sky News get Lammy on to talk to him about it. And the guy's like, I can't remember what the name of the person. Maybe it was George something or other. Had just given Lammy 50 grand. He was like, tell us who that is. Who's that guy? Shouldn't we know? You're in public office. At the time, I think in the opposition. He was like really high senior shadow minister for something. And David Lammy's just like, no. The law doesn't require me to tell you who that is or why they gave me that money, so I'm not going to. Since then, that very thing has crossed my mind. That very Sky News bit has crossed my mind 2 or 3 or 4 times since then. And I've tried to find it, and it seems to have been deleted from the internet. I can't find it. Good 2 or 3 times I've spent quite a few minutes trying to find it, searching around, I can't find it. If anyone out there can find that, send it to me on Twitter. Send me, if you can find, that'd be brilliant. It's a bit where Lammy is asked all about his finances. And he just refuses to say what it's all about. I would love that. I'll give you a shout out on here if I can. If someone does that. All right, let's move on. David Lammy, give me a break. All right, and the last one is, what is it? Marta Gormley says, please cover the grooming gang inquiry. I know it's not in the papers, and Ellie have. I think we did yesterday on the main podcast, yeah. But would be great if you could highlight further here too. Yeah, sure, okay, yeah, all right, I will do. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if I remember, on Monday, if it's not in the news, and it probably won't be, will it, because the corporate legacy mainstream media are part of the problem and want to bury it as much as possible. If it's not in news, I'll just find a couple of articles and get Harry to put them on my tabs, and I'll mention it. Yeah, good call. Thanks, Marta Gormley. You're right. All right, well, that is the show. We are now 12 minutes past 9. You got an extra 12 minutes this morning. Don't say I'm not generous. Got an extra 12 minutes this morning. Thank you for joining us. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. Try and make the best of the day if you can, and the weekend. Try and make the best of it. You've only got a finite number of days on this earth. They're slipping away. Make them count. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Seize the day. And the weekend. All right, on that note. Until Monday, take care.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.